Every time I face the waves, I don't wanna be afraid. I don't wanna be afraid. And I don't wanna fear the storm just because I hear it.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Good morning. So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Praise God. My goodness, we survived a couple of storms. Wind got to blowing. My goodness. Went into a storm cellar. Had fellowship in a storm cellar. My goodness. Next time I told him, have some snacks. Have some snacks available. No, we were doing good to have air. It was getting kind of warm in there, but we survived. So thankful for God's hand of protection. So good to have everyone here this morning. If you're a visitor here today, we want to make you welcome to the United Pentecostal Church of Paris. We're thankful that you chose to come and be with us this morning. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and open with some announcements today. Praise God. We do have some things going on. Also, just a quick reminder about our church app. If you haven't already, open the My Church app and turn on your notifications. Whether you're interested in major church announcements, men, women's groups, praise updates, prayer requests, or other groups, you can customize as you like. This allows us to send quick reminders, updates, prayer needs, and schedule changes when they happen. It's one of the simplest ways to stay connected day to day. All right. Also, Thursday, April the 30th, we have United Ladies United Fellowship. Speaker is going to be Sister Victoria King. That's going to be held at, all right. That's going to be held at Garibaldi's Mexican Restaurant. That will be 6 p.m. That's this Thursday, April the 30th. Also, this coming Saturday from 5 to 9, there's going to be a men's gathering. The Watch is hosting a men's gathering Saturday, May 2nd from 5 to 9 p.m. There's going to be dinner and games, and it's going to be provided at no cost. Please RSVP by this Wednesday, April the 29th, and invite someone, bring a friend with you. Also, Sunday, May 3rd, everybody say Sunday on the Square. That's going to be 5 p.m. downtown Paris. Sunday, May 3rd, it's going to be downtown Paris. We're going to take church downtown. That's where it needs to be, right? Right there in the center of everything. Praise God. So, all right, that is awesome. Don't forget our prayer request this morning, those on the board. Let's go ahead and stand this morning as we begin to enter into a time of worship. Praise God. I'm reminded of the story of Martha and Mary. Martha was busy like we often get, right? We get real busy during the week. How many gets busy during the week? You got to struggle to get everything done, and we get in this busyness spirit. But I want to remind you that you can have Martha's spirit or you can have Mary's spirit. Mary, when Jesus was in the room, her focus was on him. Martha didn't get disconnected from the busyness. She was busy washing whatever serving compasses. She was busy serving, and she was upset because Mary was in her own little, she was in her little zone enjoying the fellowship of Jesus. So she went to Jesus and she made mention and said, hey, what, can't you compel Mary to come and help? You know, I'm over here doing all this work. And even Jesus, he said, hey, it's okay to put things aside sometimes. It's okay not to be busy. This is a good time not to be busy this morning in our minds. We need to focus this morning because Jesus told Martha, Mary's chosen the best thing today. She's going to listen to the word of God that's being preached, and she's going to entertain God's presence in fellowship with worship. And I want to invite you to do the same this morning as we enter into a time of worship. I know we've been busy this week, and we've probably got a busy week coming up. But now would be a good time to focus our attention on the one that brings us through it all. He's going to take us to the very end. I don't know about you, but I want to focus my attention just for a little while upon the King of Kings and Lord of Lords as we entertain his presence with our worship. Hallelujah. There's no telling what will happen in this house this morning if we will just focus in today as we lift him up in praise. Why don't we just go ahead and start that this morning? Lord, we worship you today. We're thankful, God, for your presence in this house. We're thankful, Lord, that you've gathered us here together this morning.
Lord, we just pray, Lord, for an outpouring of your Spirit in this place. Touch us, Lord. Revive us, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's worship the King this morning.
And I dignified, I was lost, now I'm found. Jesus saved my life. I was bound, now I'm free. Walking in the light, that's the reason why.
That's the reason I
clap my head through my feet, get undignified. I was lost, now I'm found. Jesus saved my life. I was bound, now I'm free. Walking in the light, that's the reason why.
Thank you. Apostle Peter, he's struggling for air, he's sinking in the water, and he looks up and the only place he sees is the feet of Jesus. And if he was singing today, he would say it, if the highest place I can reach is at your feet, then I've done it all. Because when he got done, the Lord picked him up out of the water. Can I encourage somebody today? You're not going to drown. Just reach up and take the master. Woo! By the hand today. What a God. What a God. What a God. Thank you, praise team. Nothing like the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It destroys every yoke. Amen. Give God praise for that today. Hallelujah. Amen. We're so glad you're in service today at the United Pentecostal Church. God bless you for being here. If you're a guest, give our guest a hand. Thank you for coming today. Amen. I do want to say it's great to have my mother with us today, and it's great to have one of my best friends in the world, Brother Neveretti, and his wife, Sister Jessica, and his nephew, Isaac. And they pastor in the Beaumont, Texas area. They were in this weekend, and he'll be preaching for us in our Family and Faith Freedom Weekend in July. It's going to be a great time. Would you please welcome our good friend, the pastor, Sourley. God bless you. Amen. Asking for our ushers to come now to receive our tithe and offering. Thank you so much for your faithfulness in giving. God bless you for that today. And we're going to take, this is a normal, I know our church crowd's not really here today, but I'll do this again next Sunday as well. This is our normal tithe and offering, but I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago that we'd be taking an offering on the 26th for two missionaries, one in Spain, the Zenobias, and one in Colombia, South America, the Guidries. And after we take this offering today, we're going to play a video and show some pictures of this right quick. It's kind of a different flow, I know, but I want to show you some things, and then I'll talk more about this. Let's pray over this offering. God, we ask you to bless it, Lord. Bless this great church. God, thank you for their faithfulness. Bless them, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, just a couple of, go ahead, brethren. Just a couple of things. You can be seated to keep, for you to know, this offering that we're going to take is not due today, but it's due in 2 weeks, okay? So we're taking this today, and you'll see here on the screen, they're showing a picture, and a missionary in Colombia. I've spoke to you at length at different times about my great uncle and my great aunt, the Purdues. They were missionaries for 20 years in Colombia, South America. And I wanted to show you this. The missionary there currently, Brother John Guidry, contacted me here some weeks ago. If you just keep that picture right there you just had, please. That picture there, the missionary is in the middle, Brother John Guidry. And if you've ever studied Colombia, you can do a quick Google research. It's a very poverty-stricken nation. And lots of things are just barely surviving, if you will, for his food, clean water. You just can't imagine. My wife and I were privileged to go there in 2019, and this was an eye-opening experience. But anyways, this current church, I'm showing you this today, the missionary they're praying. This is a church that we're going to support as a church. And this church is trying to purchase some land to build a church. And in Colombia, $4,000 is a lot of money. It's a lot of money to me. Amen. But it's really a lot of money to Colombians. Amen. So we're trying to help raise the funds. Not saying we'll raise all of it. But we're trying to be a part of that, contribute to that. You can show the next picture is fine. And this kind of shows you, this is where the pastor sleeps every day. So the next time you say you're not blessed, just screenshot that and take a picture of that. Amen. We are a blessed people in the United States of America. Amen. Next picture, please. You'll see this is the church they're currently in. They're in this picture here. They're trying to tear this building down. Can you turn off that back platform light, please? I'm sorry. I want you guys to see something here. They're currently tearing this church down. This is on a family property, and they're trying to raise funds to, again, purchase the land. In Colombia, it's weird. They don't do like America. It's kind of all on a verbal agreement. And they've agreed, family has agreed to sell this pastor the land to build a church on. And the next picture, please. This is, again, another picture of the church inside of there. Next picture. This is the pastor here. Some 12 years ago, he was in a bad gang in the Colombian gangs. God filled him with the Holy Ghost, turned him into an apostolic preacher. And now he's a pastor of a church. And the missionary, Brother Guidry, he's very particular. And, yeah, that's awesome. Let's give God a hand for that. Amen. Amen. Brother Guidry is very particular in who he lends or gives money out to, because you got to be very careful who you're giving money to in these type of countries. But he vouches for this young man. He's a part of the United Pentecostal Church in Colombia. And is there another picture, Sister Heather? Is that it? Amen. I think that's just a picture of the inside of the church. So, and you will take an offering. If you want to give today, you can give towards that. But I would ask, again, I'll do this again next Sunday when prayerfully our normal church crowd is back in the church. But if you would today, if you are here, if you take it an envelope, if you can't give today, that's fine. But just write on there, I'm going to give $20, $10, whatever you can give, $50, $100, I don't care what you give. But give it to the Lord, and God will bless you for that, amen? So I ask you to please pray about that, be considerate about that, and put it on an envelope. And I guess, Brother Jackie, what we'll do is at the end of church is have a couple of ushers at the doors. We can stand with the offering plates again. And you know this last offering is going strictly towards Colombia, and it's going towards Spain, okay? And so I believe God can help us there. Now, this next one is a video, and Pastor Zenobia in Spain, he made our church a video, and he knows what we're trying to accomplish today. He contacted me several weeks ago. They're trying to build a Bible school in Spain,
And the goal in countries like that is when you build a Bible school is to prayerfully get natives on the ground reaching their own people. And so Bible schools are vital in these parts of the country. So if you would, let's play this video of Brother Zenobia, please.
This is Sam Zenobia in Seville, Spain. And I want to take the time to say thank you to the United Pentecostal Church of Paris, Texas, for being willing to support us in this building and Bible school project that we have underway here in the city of Seville. We are in the south of Spain, and this building is going to be the first permanent location of the church that we've planted just under 2 years ago, which started in the living room of our home. And it's been a miracle what God has done, as we have seen people baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And the church has grown for the last year and a half in a hotel in the city. And God made a way for us to have this building that I am standing in right now. I'm in the main sanctuary area of the building. And as you can see, it's a large space that will seat between 100 and 120 people in a service. To my left are the classrooms and the office space. Behind me would be the bathrooms as well as a kitchen. And this location will not only serve as our worship service, discipleship center, ministry outreach and evangelism center, it will also serve as the very first in-person Bible school in this region of Spain, which we plan to launch at the end of June. And so I want to just say thank you for being willing to participate with us in this great opportunity that God has given us to see a strong church planted here in southern Spain and to begin training and releasing more pastors, more ministers into the harvest field in Spain and what we believe will be beyond Spain. United Pentecostal Church of Paris, thank you again. May the Lord bless you as you give.
God bless. Isn't that awesome? Thank the Lord for missionaries who go. Amen. So I just encourage you, at the end of service, if you can give the day, great. If not, get an envelope. They'll have some envelopes for you. You can write on there, I'll give X amount of dollars. However you feel to give, it's up to you. You pray about that. God will bless you for that. And 100% of these proceeds, we'll split it down the middle, okay? 50-50. It'll go 50% to Colombia and 50% to Spain. Amen. So thank you so much for your giving. God bless you. Worship with our praise team as they sing.
Peace of my heart, though a thousand foes arise, my shadow. shout, my God's not dead. I'll shout, my God's not dead. I'll shout, my God's not dead. My praise is a weapon. I'll praise on barren land. I'll shout, my God's not dead. I'll dance on the enemy's head. My praise is a weapon. I'll praise on barren land. I'll shout, my God's not dead. I'll dance on the enemy's head. My praise is a weapon.
Aren't you glad God kept reaching when you stopped reaching? Praise God. Amen. It's good to be in church on a Sunday. That was weak. It's good to be in church on a Sunday. Come on, somebody. God is good. Amen. Ain't nobody like Jesus. And what a great God we serve. He's high. He's lifted up. Amen. Isaiah said the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Amen. Sister Heather, would you mind putting back that Sunday on the square slide right quick? Amen. Sorry about that. I didn't plan on them doing this, but I want to talk about something. Everyone say next Sunday. Now, I know I got this date wrong. I got May 1st stuck in my brain because next Friday is our volunteer team night. But May the 3rd, that's next Sunday evening, 5 p.m. Everyone said Sunday on the square. You need to be there. It's going to be a very casual event. We're going to hang out, eat some ice cream. We'll do a small devotional, but it's something a little bit different. But invite a friend, all right? If you know someone, invite someone downtown next Sunday evening. And if you're worried about government, I talked to the government of Paris, and they said it was okay, okay? So come on down. Come on down next Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, and it's going to be a great night at the United Pentecostal Church. Did you realize the church is bigger than the four walls? Isn't that crazy? Some people don't believe that, but it really is. Amen? Thank you, Sister Heather. Appreciate that. Amen. Anybody like baseball? Yeah, amen. Nothing like baseball, right? We're going to preach a little bit about baseball today, amen. Some of you may shout that ain't shouted in years, amen. You can be seated, amen. Thank you for standing. God bless you. In April of 1989, a fictional film came out entitled, anyone know what it was? Huh? Field of Dreams. The film's core message was, you must believe before you can see. The main character, Ray, he builds a baseball field in the middle of a cornfield, in the middle of nowhere, because a voice he hears. He's got no proof. He's got no guarantee. Just faith. If you watch the movie, his neighbors think he's lost his mind. But his belief, his faith, overrides what others are thinking and saying. The film revolves around the idea of trusting there's a bigger purpose. And a lot of what happens doesn't make sense in the film at first, but later, everything connects. Of course, if you watched it, you know that the movie really isn't about sports at all, but it's about healing and redemption. It's about fixing broken relationships, especially with Ray's father. The core line in the show says this: if you build it, he will come. The voice he hears is simply saying, do what you're called to do, even if it looks crazy, and trust that the result will follow. Of course, that film, as already been mentioned, was called The Field of Dreams because the baseball field wasn't just a field, but it represents dreams being brought to life. Ray builds this literal field, but what shows up on the field are people, moments, hopes that seemed gone forever. The players come back, his past comes back, even his relationship with his father gets a chance to be restored. The field became a place where dreams that were lost forever, it seemed, were revived. Dreams that seemed like they'd never see fruition again, they were able to come to pass. Faith turned into something visible, and the impossible became real. And today, several weeks ago, I should say, I thought I was going to preach this message, and the Lord just wouldn't have it so, I guess. And today, I felt it was the right time to preach this particular message, and it's going to tie into the missions we just watched and everything today. God knows how to do things. But I want to preach to us today on simply that subject, field of dreams. Our own field of dreams as a church, it's not a fictional feel-good film that this movie portrays, but the field of dreams that I preach to you about today is one where we have to have eternity in mind. The field of dreams I preach about today has the souls of mankind attached to it. Long before 1989, God established the original field of dreams called the world. And he gave lessons and he gave commands to his church on faith and on his expectations for us as the body of Christ. Regarding faith, the Lord spoke through the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 and said, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." The natural human tendency says, "I must see it before I believe it." But the Lord says, "That's not how I operate, but rather you must believe before you can see." Hebrews 11:1 tells us that we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. New Living Translation says it like this: faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Jesus gave us, his church, expectations in the form of a command in Mark's gospel in chapter 16 and verse 15 when he said, "You need to go into all the world and preach the gospel." Everyone said, to every creature. Jesus also said to the future church in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 that, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he let them know this power from the Holy Ghost would enable them to become witnesses unto him, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. If you'll notice the progression of how the Lord speaks here, He deals first in Acts chapter 1 and 8 with their home base of Jerusalem, where his spirit would be poured out on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. But he continues and says, not only will you be just empowered to be my witnesses in your hometown of Jerusalem, but I'm going to stretch you outside of your familiar surrounding, and you'll be regional witnesses. You'll be my witnesses in all of Judea, which was the surrounding area around Jerusalem. And he continued, Brother Lester, and said, not only will I make you regional witnesses to the surrounding people around that area, but I'm going to empower you to be witnesses in Samaria as well. Now, you have to know about Samaria. It was the place where the Jewish people of that day did not want to go. It was a people that they had no dealings with. There had been years of religious disagreement and years of division. And over time, it had turned into prejudice. And they kept their distance. They didn't associate. They didn't connect. Some years ago, I studied this in the Jewish community. They would walk completely around that entire region just to avoid coming in contact with them. That's why it was so earth-shattering when Jesus told his disciples, I must go through Samaria. And Jesus said, when you receive this Holy Ghost, it's going to empower you to even go into Samaria. In other words, it's like we say, when the Holy Ghost comes on you, it'll make you love everybody. And you won't label people by their skin color anymore. You won't label and write people off who disagree with you politically. You won't see race anymore. You will simply see a soul in need of what you have. He continues in Acts chapter 1 and 8. And at the end of the verse, he says, not only will you be a home-based church, not only will you be a regional church, not only will I remove that prejudiceness from your heart and you be reaching for people who you never thought you'd reach for in your city or in your region. He said, I'm going to make you also a global church. He said, your reach will stretch beyond your current borders. Your reach will stretch beyond what you see right now at your home base and in your region, but your reach is going to go global. In this field of dreams that I preach to you great people about today, it involves three fields, but they're all connected to the main field called the United Pentecostal Church of Paris, Texas. The first field I speak to you today is called their field. It is the global field. It's the field you just watched with missionary Zenobia in Spain and missionary Guidry in Colombia, South America. This global field of dreams I'm preaching about today, the one that Jesus came to earth for, the one that he shed his blood for, the one where he said it's not his will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. That global field, Sister Jones, it consists currently, as of my latest studies, of 8.3 billion people, all of which are just one heartbeat away from eternity. And the church has a gigantic monumental responsibility to do all that she can to reach their field of dreams. The United Pentecostal Church, I'll just bring it to where we are currently. The United Pentecostal Church currently has 1,246 missionaries and missionary workers worldwide in 203 of the 210 nations and territories of the world. And this is where we, as the United Pentecostal Church of Paris, come in at. This is where we must understand that the global field is not somebody else's responsibility, but the global field of dreams is also our responsibility. How, preacher, is it the United Pentecostal Church's responsibility? How are we to be a part of the global field here in Paris, Texas? Well, not everybody is literally going to go to a foreign land to witness the different people groups, but everybody can be a part of the witness. God will send families to go and to testify, but others, us, we will be the ones who pray for the witness in their field of dreams. And this is where we come in today. In Colossians 3:17, Paul said, whatever you do in word or indeed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. He said, whatever you do in word. So when you pray in Jesus' name, you are covering that resident missionary in that foreign land. Whenever you pray for God to open doors for the witness, your prayers take flight and they go where we can't go in our natural bodies. And these prayers ascend to the throne of God and they can circle the globe as fast as you can snap your fingers. The Lord said in Isaiah chapter 65:24, before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. So today I preach to you that their field must also become our field through our prayer. Their burden must also become our burden through our prayers for the witness in those nations. This great church, thank God for Pastor Meyer and his burden for missions. This great church currently supports 40 of the 1,246 missionaries globally. And today we pray over their field of dreams. Would you help me pray right now in the name of Jesus? We pray today for God to give increase. We pray today for God to give breakthrough. We pray for strongholds to be torn down today in their field. We pray that the attack of the enemy would be canceled and dissolved over their nations. We pray that doors that seem locked would be opened. We pray for the witness. Whatever you do, he said in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. We pray that they are going to see what they've been believing God for. We pray that they would have the courage and the strength to persevere in the face of persecution. We pray that God would baptize the natives of that foreign land with the Holy Ghost and fire. And we pray that he would raise up an army of souls to reach their current nation in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said in Matthew 9, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers, they're few. Paris, next slide, please. Pray that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send laborers into his harvest. You may be sitting on a coffee, on a sofa drinking coffee in the morning, but you can be an extension of the witness by praying for some foreign field. Lord, I pray today you would send witnesses to every foreign nation that's connected to this church. We pray, dear God, you'd put burden. I feel it today. I pray today that God would put burdens on people in this house, that God would send missionaries outside of the United Pentecostal Church. God, I feel faith up in this room right now. There's coming a day, I'm telling you, mark it down, write it in your black book. We'll send missionaries from this church, and this church will sponsor people globally. We'll be a global church. That's what a field of dreams is all about. We're praying for their field. Some of you believe, some of you don't. I'll preach to what I can't see right now. We pray for everybody that's going to be rose up in this church who will be a missionary, who will reach the world for his glory. Their field. Everybody said their field. Must become our burden. Jesus said, whatever you do indeed, do it all in the name of Jesus. You may not be able to go physically in body, but when you give of your finances, Pastor Lonnie Jordan told me years ago, he said, Brad, If God can get in a man's wallet, he can get to a man's heart. I'll never forget, we had a guy singing for us one night, and this old redneck cowboy guy came in the church. After church, he came to me crying. He said, "My God, I don't know why. Lord spoke to me. I was supposed to give that man X amount of dollars." And he gave it to him. And I called Pastor Jordan. I said, "My God, man, you wouldn't believe who was here tonight and what he gave." He said, "Son, I'm telling you, when God starts dealing with men like that, God will start dealing with their hearts after that. So I'm telling you tonight, folks, I pray. I may get in trouble if I get to the good stuff today. I pray God will loose every wallet." You see how tight it got? Talk about money. My God, he's on my stuff. Hang on. It ain't your stuff. I feel it. I feel a 1,000-foot wall, and I'm not scaling Everest. I'm going to preach around Everest today, all right? Let me peek on the other side and talk to you on the other side of Everest and tell you this right now, that if you get up in the morning, the Lord woke you up. If you got strength to climb out of bed in the morning and go to work, the Lord did that. Now, before all of you get crazy and think he's just preaching for money for himself, you've lost your mind. I don't want your dumb money. I'm talking about money for the mission field, for the global harvest. I pray that God will loosen wallets in this church. There will come a day. I'm going to preach what I can't see right now. There will come a day where this church gives $100,000 to missions in one service. God's going to blow this church's mind what he does through apostolic giving, but he's going to do it when our field becomes their field. I said, "Oh, God, help me today. I got to hurry. I'll never forget. I saw a little church where I pastored years ago, about 8-9 years ago, when we were first starting global missions conferences. I saw that church in 1 year give over $35,000 to mission. Didn't have 40, 50 folks. In about 7 years, almost $250,000. I'm telling you, God can baptize this house with a spirit of giving that'll absolutely blow our minds. And when I'm telling you, when you start giving outside the doors, God will take care of inside the doors. God's got resources we don't even know about right now. If you'll just be faithful in the little." You are a part of how far the voice of the witness goes. Amen. You can be an extension of the reach of that witness through your prayer and through your giving. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I don't have time to read it, so don't worry about putting it up there. But in Deuteronomy, the Lord said, if you'll open your hand wide. Now, I've met people who cupped their hand. They wanted to see what was going through it. And if it wasn't what they liked, they closed it. God can't bless a closed fist. God, it's tight. But God can bless an open hand. God can bless a hand that stays open. Hear me right now. And when the Holy Ghost says give, we don't debate about it. We don't talk about it. We don't pray for 7 days about it. When God says give, we move in faith. Okay, I'm going to preach you anyways. He said, if you'll open your hand, he said, if you listen, he said, if you'll trust me, if you'll give, I'll give a blessing back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. We want that kind of stuff, but the Lord is trying to challenge this church and tell you, if we'll give to their field, I'm telling you, God will give back to your field. God will bless your home. God will bless your marriage, not just in finance, but God will bless your life. God will bless your marriage and your home and your kids. Never forget. I'm going to hurry, Brother Bolton, I promise. Give me like 10 minutes. Never forget. 2016, I was serving on a youth committee for the Texas District, and we were in a hotel in the Houston area doing youth committee meetings for the upcoming youth camps and HYCs, and Brother Randy Enzi came in the room. If you know anything about him, his church has been an exceptionally given church for years to missions. And never forget, he stepped in that room, and of all days, they asked him to teach, talk to us about Sheaves for Christ, Sheaves for Christ. When you give to Sheaves for Christ, that helps buy missionaries cars, washing machines, icebox, whatever they need in their natural needs. It blesses them, and it also pays for our youth camps and all kinds of things. But anyways, he came in that room, and when he got done, the Holy Ghost fell in that room, and a spirit of giving hit that house. Now, I never forget, I think I may have told you this, but I had $800 saved for the Smoky Mountains. Smoky Mountain rain keeps on falling. Right? $800 saved that day for the Smoky Mountains. I said, man, we're going to go to Smoky Mountains. We're going to have a good time in Dollywood. We're going to do all this. And the Lord started messing with me. And I thought, surely not here. Surely he ain't going to require all of my $800 today. And the longer he preached or spoke, whatever you want to call it, the more I felt like, oh, God, it is the Lord talking today. This ain't, I'm nobody. I'm just telling what God did for us. Again, I told Jenna later, I'm going to give this money. And she was in agreement, and we gave the full $800. Now, I left there deflated. Good God Almighty, I'm trying to save money, and God's requiring money from me that I'm saving for a vacation. 2 months later, we're at a Christmas end-of-the-year party, and the music director, for whatever reason, I don't know why, they had us all write on the list the top five places you would love to go in your lifetime. I didn't know, and she didn't know, that we both wrote we'd love to go to the nation of Israel. I didn't have no idea she wrote that stuff. And I wrote it and she wrote it. 2 months after that, I'm at the house sitting there and a man calls me, a businessman. He says, hey, he said, I just want to know, how would you like to go to Israel? I said, well, that'd be great, but they make stuff called money. And we ain't got that about $4,000 or $5,000 a person to go over to that foreign land. He said, no, I ain't worried about that. He said, it's an all expense paid trip. He said, if you want to go, it's yours to go. Just go. I said, we ain't got any spending money. Well, ain't paying a problem. Spending money ain't the issue. And God, hear me, God took my little 800 measly dollars for the Smoky Mountains, and he put me at the Temple Mount 4 months later and said, if you'll just trust me in the little, I can take you places you never dreamed you would. That's why I'm telling you today, don't doubt what the Lord is doing. When the Lord speaks, you move with God. You operate with God. Let the Holy Ghost lead and guide you. Amen. So we give to their fields. And then today, I preach to you. Everyone said, our field. Their field's great, but I'm preaching this message backwards on purpose today, all right? Our field is Paris, Texas. This city that God has put us in as a group, not just me, as a constituency, as a church, it is a revival city. This church is a church that is set on a hill prophetically, and it cannot be hid. The winds of the Holy Ghost harvest, you hear me, they're already blowing on souls in this house. And today, I preach to our field. I preach to you about the 25,303 people that I researched this morning that call Paris, Texas home. I preach to you that our field, our backyard, has got to be more than just this is a city where I was raised and lived in all my life. It's got to be more than just this is a city, a place where I work and shop. No, this is our field. This is our responsibility. You understand that if we take care of our field, if we'll reach our field, as we reach our field, and as the field grows with born-again believers, we can do more for other fields' dreams. So Paris, Texas, this is our field of dreams. I preach today for what we have not seen yet. I preach today that if we build it, they will come. I'm not speaking about buildings today, but I'm preaching about God-birthed ideas that get the field's eyes on what God is doing. I'm preaching today that if we build a culture of prayer, God will send a mighty wind of the harvest. I'm preaching today that if we build a spirit of worship and praise, that God is drawn to praise. God lives in praise. I'm preaching today if we build and if we give our best in God-given ideas, there will come a day where God begins to give us birth, and God will give us birthing rooms all over this campus, and we'll have a facility where people can come in and be healed and be uplifted and be delivered. You ready for this? 5 minutes. God ain't got a problem moving. He's a moving God. You've heard people say, we ain't got to do nothing. This is the most misinterpreted verse in the entire Bible. If I be lifted up, I'll draw People have used that verse for years, a comp out, because they don't want to reach nobody. People have used that verse for years saying, well, if I just praise Jesus, if I just pray 10 minutes a day, if I just read my Bible one chapter a day, if I just come to church and worship, that means he's going to draw them. Wrong. Amen. You lifting up Jesus is not what draws people here. Bible says no man can come lest the Spirit draw him. Hello? Anytime God wants to move, he expects the body to be proactive. Let me just take it, put some legs on that right quick. Someone said one time, what do we do with new people who come to church and get the Holy Ghost? I'm going to tell you what's happened for 30, 40 years. People have walked in doors and they were gone in 6 months because they had no place. Hello? So what do? We become proactive. And so in July, we launch Next Steps in this church. So when a new believer comes in here, I don't care if they're filled, baptized, or not. If they want to be a part, they get plugged into Next Steps for 4 to 6 weeks. When they come out of there, they're a part of this church serving in some area. What is that? That's the field of our dreams. We're building a place for people to come. And God will feel it if you'll build it. You're not hearing me. Brother Randy and Sister Wanda, they do celebrate recovery. I'm telling you, when God opens it up in this church, if we'll build it, God will feel it. If we'll do what we're supposed to do, God will feel. He's waiting for the body to become proactive and say, it's bigger than just coming to church and shouting and speaking in tongues. We've had it wrong for years. Thank God you got blessed. But this place was designed to be a house of instruction. It was designed to be a place of strategic planning. What are you planning for? I'm trying my best to snatch one more soul out of the pit of hell. I want the world to know this is a field where dreams come to pass.
I ask you today, can you dream it in the spirit? How big is your dream? What do you see? What do you feel? I preached to the 44.4 square miles called Paris, Texas. I preached to the hard soil of a backslider's heart. I preach to the hard soil of a man who said there isn't a God. And we declare in the name of Jesus that this will be fertile soil. We declare that it's going to produce. I preach what I can't see, but I believe. The Lord spoke through Isaiah in Isaiah 54, and he said, sing, O barren! You who have not born, he said, break forth into singing and cry aloud. You have not labored with child. Far more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Listen to this. He said, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. He said, if you'll do this, you shall expand to the right and to the left. What's God saying? If you'll throw a party, it'll happen. And after you throw a party, we always say we'll wait for it to happen before we throw a party, but God don't work that way. God says you build it and then you celebrate. You worship and then you celebrate. You see me do the miraculous in your doing. We reach for Paris. We pray over Paris. We travail over Paris. We fast over Paris. Paris is your, not just mine, it's your dream field. And God will send us a regional revival. The region's core, the metro population, according to what I saw, is 62,300 people in this immediate area. Put that on top of the 25, almost 90,000 people in this region. And God, I told you, God spoke to me March the 9th in that prayer room and said, I'm going to send a Red River revival. Little did I know that the Red River Basin is considered this entire region. But the Holy Ghost knows all things. And there will be a regional revival that hits this entire area. It's going to start in this house. But I'm telling you, every church that preaches this Jesus name apostolic gospel is going to be beneficiaries of people who spread their tentacles through this entire Lamar County. I'm telling you, there will be an absolute apostolic church that's going to shake the gates of hell. I I walked across the parking lot this morning. I'm telling you, I'm going to preach to what I can't see. There will come a day. You hear what I'm telling you? There will come a day when they'll be parking all up under the Family Life Center because the Holy Ghost is pouring out His Spirit, not because of a preacher. I'm not worried about me. It's not about me. It's about J-E-S-U-S. But the body has got to be serious that this is our field of dreams. This is God's church. This is God's field. And finally, I close today. And I come preaching to you about the next field today. What we do today, go ahead and bring them in. What we do today affects our tomorrow greatly. Psalm 78:4. The psalmist said, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord." He is telling Israel here, come on guys on the platform with the pastor here. He's telling Israel here that God's goodness and Israel's repeated failure. He said, make sure you tell your kids. Come on up here, guys. He said, make sure you tell your kids about what's coming. He told them in Deuteronomy. Hook 'em horns. He told them in Deuteronomy. He said, listen to me. He said, when your kids go to bed, make sure you teach them. He said, when your kids wake up, make sure they hear the gospel preached. He said, whatever you do, you make sure the generation understands that there is a God in heaven. I appeal today to this great United Pentecostal Church who has such a great rich history in the apostolic movement. If you knew how many times this church has been preached about across the greatest pulpits in all of Pentecost, it would blow your mind. But it's because of men who came some 100 years ago who said it's worth dying for. It's worth fighting for. And you just got a guy. I'm nobody, but it's still worth fighting for. It's still worth dying for. It's still worth reaching for. Come on up, guys. Come on up here. Now, Brother Bright's daddy is an OU fan, but we ain't at this church. He always does this to me right here. We ain't a hook 'em horn fan. We love our buddy. Amen. You ready for this? Come here, guys. Come a little closer. I ain't gonna freak y'all out, I promise. Everybody said, the next field. Say it like you mean it. Say, the next field. What happens in these pews determines what happens in the next field. What happens in this church, how early you come to pray, how fervently you pray, how faithful you are to God, how sincere you are to God, how faithful you are in telling your kids there's but one God and His name is Jesus, how faithful you are in telling your babies a man must be born again of the water and of the Spirit or he cannot enter or see the King. That's what matters to the next generation. Let's all stand right now. Good God Almighty. And it is worth our absolute celebration. We had about 40 or so kids show up to Children's Revival this week, and God filled 13 with the baptism of the Holy Ghost for the very first time. Let's celebrate right now. We thank God for what He did. We thank God for what He's doing right now at the United Pentecostal Church of Paris. Hear me, I'm done. We're going to pray. This group and the other however many kids that come to this church on a regular basis, please hear me today. They are depending on you. Are you listening to me? They are depending on you. Let me publicly say, special thank you, Brother Ronnie, Sister Joanne, Sister Christy, Brother Lynn, your Sunday school teachers. God bless people who teach our babies every single Sunday. Thank God. Thank you, Sister Victoria, for every Wednesday night opening the back room and letting 40 or 50 kids come to kids' church on a Wednesday night. There's coming a day in this field of dreams where the Holy Ghost is going to fall in jams on a Wednesday night. You're not hearing me right now. I'm telling you, you better unbuckle your seatbelt. God is about to blow your mind what he's going to do. Thank you, Brother Randy. Thank you, Sister Wanda. Thank you, Brother Kelso, Sister Kelso, for teaching our junior class. God bless people who invest in our junior class. Thank you, Brother Malone. Thank you, Sister Malone, for taking care of our youth. God bless you today. We've got to make sure we invest in the next generation. This is the next field.
They're tired of being up here, and I am too. I'm hot. Amen. I want us to all come to the front together today. How about that? If you come to Keys, please, babe. What are we going to do before we're dismissed today? Amen. This is serious business right here. Okay? So if you would, in a sense, just imagine in your mind that you are the wall between them and the adversary. Amen. And I promise you, any mother and daddy worth their salt, if a thief was breaking in the house, the father and the mother would be at the door. And they tell their kids, go to the safest place in the house and you hide while mom and daddy defend the house. And the same it is in the spirit. How do they hide? Psalm 91 told us that he would protect us under his wings if we abide in the shelter of the Most High God. How do you abide in the shelter of the Most High God? Your home becomes a sanctuary for the supernatural to move. It's a regular thing for my babies. I pray it is for you to hear you praying in the spirit. I'm not talking about fake. I'm talking about real. I'm talking about praying for God. Keep my kids. Use my kids mightily, God. Protect them from the devils that try their best to destroy their minds at 6 and 7 and 8 years old. What are you doing, preacher? What are you doing, saint of God? I'm protecting the next generation. I'm protecting my next babies, because there'll come a day where I exit off the scene. There'll come a day where they bury all of us. It'll be these babies on the pew, and some pastor's going to preach one day. Can I get a mom and dad to stand up? And if your babies were trained, they'll say, I had a mama, I had a daddy, I had a grandpa who told me this is what we do in the field of dreams. We keep on preaching. We keep on praying. We keep on teaching. Would you stretch forth your hands and pray right now for the next generation? Would you pray right now in the Holy Ghost for the next field today? Come on, church, help me pray right now. Come on, church, help me pray right now. Help me pray right now for the next field. Come on, if your kids aren't here, that's okay. Pray for these kids today. Pray for the next generation today. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody today. Come on, somebody today. Woo. That's it, mom and dad. That's it, grandpa, grandma. That's it, aunt and uncle. Come on, pray for these kids right now. Come on, good saint of God, pray for these kids right now. Come on, right now. We cover them right now in prayer. We cover them right now in prayer. We pray for supernatural gifts. We pray, God, for anointing to be on their lives. We pray, God, use them mightily in the Holy Ghost. It's our field of dreams. It's our field of dreams. It's our field of dreams. Hey, y'all want to do me a favor? Y'all do me a favor? Keep your hands up, mom and dad. Kids, do pastor a favor. How about do this? How about you stretch your hands out toward mom and dad? Do it for me. Let's pray for mom and dad right now. Come on. Let's pray together, church, right now. Come on. Pray for your mom and dad. Pray for these great people. God, help my mom. Help my dad. Bless my mom. Bless my daddy, God. Help them, God, to lead well. Help them, God, to serve you. Help them, God, to keep us together. Come on, that's it, babies. Pray for them right now. Come on, pray how you know to pray. We pray today, God, for every mom, every dad, every parent trying to raise a child, every grandparent trying to raise a child. We pray right now, God. Woo! Let there be supernatural blessings today. Let there be supernatural blessings today, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. The next field depends greatly on you. And you'd be surprised. Some of you already know this. You're grown. Kids may stress me out. And there's days where I'm stressed out too with my kids.
Anybody ever been there before? I love them. Amen. But there's been many days where I was like, oh, God. But it's the greatest gift on earth. And there's nothing like a child's simple prayers. God's not impressed with my theologically sound way to pray. He cares less about stuff like that. But he responds to faith. There's been more children. You watching a youth camp. If you'd have been here this children's revival, I am sometimes amazed at the sensitivity of children. How he'd be talking about wearing a French fry hat. And I'm thinking, well, this ain't spiritual, man. Come on. You got to get down where they're at and done. Yeah. But when he finished, it's all right, it's time to pray. It wasn't begging, it wasn't pleading. It was just, oh, it was just time to pray. And when the hands went up, the tears came. And when the tears came, the Spirit moved. And all of a sudden, you could feel. That's why I'm convinced the next children's revival, there needs to be 100 kids here, and it needs to be mandatory. Every adult be here. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost can fill adults with the Holy Ghost in a children's revival. We are a blessed church, and we have the greatest group of kids in Paris, Texas. Give them a hand. Thank y'all. Y'all are awesome. Appreciate it. I ask you this week as you pray, remember this. We pray, we give to their field. We labor, we pray, we fast, we give even to our field. And we also make sure we pray and we labor even harder for the next field. Because I want this to be a bigger field when I leave than when I came. Not because of me. I want your field to be bigger when you leave this earth than when you were born into it. And some of you it is. Some of you were the first one in your family. And now look at you. Your kids are here. Now your wife's here. What a God we serve. Aren't you thankful for God's mercy today? God is so good. Let's all pray. Jesus, we love you today, Lord. Thank you for this church. God, I pray help us today, God, to be a church that is serious about the global field, God, our immediate field and the next field. God, it's our field of dreams here today, God. We believe for what we can't see. We believe you'll raise up mighty warriors in the truth, God, in this church. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. I'll end with this. Brother Wayne Huntley said it years ago. The devil doesn't fear who's outside the doors of this church, but he's terrified of the babies that sleep under pews on Sunday mornings and who run around the church after church, because he knows if Samuel's in the house, God can speak to Samuel. So mom and dad, keep them close to the altar. Tell them this is where we go when we need strength. Tell them this is where we go when dad's hold my hand, listen to daddy pray. Brother Merriam said it over and over last week. Kids, you learn to pray by watching others. You copy somebody else. You hear them praise. Oh, that's how you praise. Cool. Hello? Case in point, we got to hush. It's past 11:15. Anybody growing up with your dad, you try to copy what he did? If dad had a pocket knife, someone in this church, a kid had a pocket knife at 4 years old. Who was that kid? That your kid with the mullet? Probably so. Somebody here. Raising them right. but if dad had a pocket knife, they had a pocket knife. And then you'd watch the old boy walk like his dad. If dad limped, he limped. If dad drunk coffee, he drunk coffee. If daddy spit, I spit. Come on, somebody. I'm just copying my dad. So I told you last Wednesday night, I can take you the spot in the Bonner Church when I saw daddy preaching spinning down the center aisle, talking in tongues, and it sounded like crackling flames. And when I look back, I think to myself, ooh, I want to be like that. I want to do that. Mama's here, and I'll embarrass her again, but I told you, I can take you to the spot in the Bonneville Church. She was pacing back at the church. Lights are out almost. Everybody's going home, making this kid stay at church and pray. And I can still hear her talking in tongues. What is that? Well, if you want them to act like you, raise them right. She didn't do it, I promise you. She didn't do that to try to teach me that. She was just in the vein of the Spirit. I'm not talking about fake. I'm talking about being real. But if you want them to walk like you and talk like you, if you want them to have good mouths in public, have a good mouth at home. Amen. I'm talking about a field of dreams here, folks. I'm not building apostolic homes, apostolic churches. If you want them to jump, you jump. If you want them to run, run. If you want them to pray, pray. They're watching you. God, we love you today. God bless you. Amen. One more time. Y'all are awesome. Give them a hand. We love our kids. Amen. Thanks for coming to church today. We love y'all so much. God bless you. Don't forget Wednesday night, church, youth. Also, I think Sister Mallory is taking care of youth on Wednesday night. Is that right? Give it up for Mal. Amen.